Good morning. I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to this morning's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Todd Lang, who's Director of Transportation for the Baltimore Metropolitan Council. And Todd's here this morning to talk to us about transportation planning in our area. So, in other words, if you've got a problem with transportation, Todd is the man.
Well, in terms of transportation planning, if there's actually a pothole out in the road, you might want to call your local jurisdiction.
Right. Welcome to the show, Todd. This is kind of a follow-up to a show we did a little while ago, and I appreciate you coming this morning.
Thank you, Bill. How are you doing today?
Good. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us a little bit about the Baltimore Metropolitan Council?
Sure, Bill. The Baltimore Metropolitan Council was a coalition of the region's elected executive officials that was formed in 1992. It's really a host agency where these elected officials get together and talk about regional interests and how to move those forward.
And how long have you been with the council?
Actually, I've been with the council for approximately 2 years now, and I've been on a learning streak here trying to get up to date in all the different activities that the Baltimore Metropolitan Council goes through. To let you kind of know of a few things that BMC is doing, we are working cooperatively with the local jurisdictions' governments and the local jurisdictions' public school districts in cooperative purchasing. So they get together and try to utilize the expanded nature of this cooperative agreement to purchase energy at discounted rates and also purchase supplies that you find in schools and then also supplies that you find in government buildings.
Saving us all money.
It is a way to save money, and it's a good way to utilize these cooperative agreements that we've developed.
That's great.
We also have several other items. We have what's a GIS subcommittee. GIS is known as Geographic Information Systems. Each one of the jurisdictions develops a set of computer mapping for each of their jurisdictions. What we do is we coordinate all of that mapping and pull it together into one regional GIS system so that we're able to share the information, and this information doesn't just stop at jurisdictional lines, so that we're able to utilize it for a lot of environmental and emergency assistance activities also.
So we're ready in order to respond in the best possible way.
Yes, the Baltimore Metropolitan Council also was the main leading force behind several different Baltimore region emergency assistance compacts and mutual aid agreements, where each of the jurisdictions, fire and police and emergency activity groups get together, have these compacts where we're able to share resources across jurisdictions if there is some sort of major event.
So in other words, if folks have heard about on the news about multiple fire departments responding to a big fire or to an accident on the beltway or something, that's probably one of the results of this.
Exactly. In fact, they get down to the details of coordinating the frequencies across their radios. I think this was one of the major initiatives that came out of the 9/11 attacks, and the Baltimore Metropolitan Council, along with the Urban Area Work Group, which is also staffed by the Baltimore Metropolitan Council, is one of the main driving force for the region's response to some of those items that we found out of 9/11.
Yeah. Well, it's I guess it's one of the positive aspects of 9/11, but it would take it's too bad that it took an emergency like that to remind our jurisdictions that they need to work together in a very specific way in case of these problems, because they're going to happen.
It's very important within this region also because of our many different army bases and different types of sensitive facilities throughout the Baltimore region. It is very important for our jurisdictions, especially within this region, to get together and start talking about those activities before they might happen.
Yeah. Indeed. Let's talk a little bit more about your work with the council.
Sure.
You've been there a couple years now, which means that's as you said, you're getting to learn things, but that's enough time, as you've been talking, to have a perspective on what's going on too. But I assume that you have done work in other jurisdictions. How does the Baltimore region compare to other jurisdictions in terms of these things?
Sure. The Baltimore region is the 20th largest in terms of population throughout the country, mm-hmm. but our place within the Mid-Atlantic region is really unique in that we are part of the larger mega region that occurs. It starts really down in Washington, D.C. and goes all the way up into the New York and Boston areas. We work very closely with what's known as the I-95 Corridor Coalition, where each of the states and the jurisdictions and the regions along that corridor from Washington all the way to Boston get together and start doing cooperative planning to try to understand not only what happens within the Baltimore region, but what happens along this larger mega region and how we fit into it. For interesting cases such as half of the freight that moves through that occurs within the Baltimore region is actually through. It actually doesn't begin or end within the Baltimore region and actually passes through the Baltimore region.
So that could take the thruway, for example.
Exactly. It's yeah. one of those things where we need to not only think about our local economy and, mm-hmm. and how, the Port of Baltimore and the BWI Airport and all of our local industries affect movement of freight throughout our region, but then also our place throughout, again, the larger mega region and how we're going to have to deal with the growth of things like freight on the entire Mid-Atlantic coast.
Mm-hmm. So the 95 is not half the traffic, but half the freight.
Yeah, so
it's just passing through.
Exactly. It's one of those things where if you see some of the construction that's currently going on in the Baltimore region up and down the I-95 corridor, it's to not only deal with the local congestion that we have out here, but yeah. also deal with these larger issues that are occurring up and down the Mid-Atlantic. One of the interesting things that's going to mm-hmm. occur here soon is that the Panama Canal it has a large widening and expansion program.
Right.
And the Port of Baltimore is going to be uniquely situated as one of the, two or three ports along the Mid-Atlantic coast that's going to have a berth that is deep enough to handle the larger boats that are coming through the Panama Canal.
Wow.
So we're likely to see some dramatic expansion of freight in and out of the Port of Baltimore. And we're, as a region, trying to figure out how to handle that additional traffic in and out of the port, whether it be by trucks or whether or not we can start utilizing our rail assets better moving in and
out. So that's good news for Baltimore, then.
It is good for our economy. Yeah. It also then has some ripple effects, as I mentioned, on both the highway
you
and
you got to deal with the infrastructure.
Absolutely. And yeah. and as everyone knows, the situation in terms of funding is really up in the air. We are currently, I believe, on our 9th extension of the Federal Surface Transportation Act, and there is no real good path moving forward in terms of finding additional revenues to try to deal with some of these issues.
And what you mean by that, for those of our listeners who are inclined to think that we don't need federal money, is that if that money is not extended, it means that all of those trucks that serve all those additional ships will be running over roads that are increasingly bad, right?
Absolutely.
And we'll have more accidents.
Yes, we are seeing this discussion not only go on at the federal level, but also at the state of Maryland level. There's currently mm-hmm. meetings of what's known as a Blue Ribbon Commission on Transportation Funding at the state level. They've been meeting for about a year and a half now, and recognizing the additional needs for revenue within the state. Unfortunately, one of the major resources or ways that we get funding into the transportation system is the gas tax, both at the federal level and the state level.
Right.
And those haven't been raised for many years. So inflation has really overtaken the spending ability that comes out of those gas tax revenues.
Yeah, which means that the state and its jurisdictions have less money to spend on infrastructure improvements.
The purchasing power of the dollar is certainly not what it was back in the early 1990s when those gas tax increases were last
improved. And the prices of concrete, et cetera, are not going down.
No, unfortunately, they are not. So we are looking for unique opportunities mm-hmm. to try to address those situations. We are looking at the coordination of transportation and land use throughout the region. We are trying to understand how we might better be able to develop land and coordinate those with the existing transportation infrastructure that we have right now. And one of those ways that we're doing that is through our Imagine 2060 process mm-hmm. that we're currently going through with the Baltimore Regional Transportation Board, which is the metropolitan planning organization mm-hmm. or the group that gets together to talk about transportation issues. This Imagine 2060 process is where we start looking at different land use scenarios, how we're going to grow as a region in the next 50 years, and then also how we are going to match those up with the transportation investments for the region over the next 50 years. What we have is online a good page known as imagine2060.org. This is a website where people can go in, can learn about this 50-year visioning process. There's also an interactive tool where people can choose what are five different land use scenarios for the region, whether or not they be coordinating land use within the existing urban centers or start developing further into the outskirts within the region. And then different transportation options, including try to focus more on mass transit and some of our railroads and buses, or whether or not we should try to focus some of our transportation investments on the highways, and try to play with those, try to pick one from each and try to see what are likely outcomes in the next 50 years. So we certainly recommend everyone go to the Imagine2060.org website and try to understand some of the situations that our region is facing.
Those are contentious alternatives, aren't they?
They are contentious, and we certainly recognize that the region is not just of one single mind in terms of how we need to move forward. We have gone and done jurisdictional meetings in each one of the jurisdictions, and the ideas that you hear from some of the rural jurisdictions mm-hmm. and the people who are living out in those areas are different than those that we see from people living within the urban center. So it is not a one-size-fits-all, but we do need to start thinking about how we need to move forward as a region.
Yeah. Because that money needs to be divided.
That money does need to have a focus. Yeah. With the limited resources, we can only do a few select items until we start figuring out how to deal with our funding situation. So with the projects being more and more expensive, we are really trying to figure out how to focus the dollars and try to leverage them as best as we can.
Right. What's coming up for folks?
Well, another item that's of immediate importance within our region is mm-hmm. the update of our region's long-range transportation plan. I talked about what's known as Imagine 2060, and that's a 50-year visioning effort really designed to try to focus our policies within the region. Mm-hmm. But our long-range transportation plan, known as Plan IT 2035, so that's PLANIT 2035, we have a website for that at planet2035.org, is the update of our region's long-range transportation plan, where we actually go through and start picking individual specific projects that are planned to be moved forward here in the next 25 years. Mm-hmm. This is where the rubber hits the road and where the train tracks, are
right.
actually going to be laid.
This is where the decisions are going to be made, and this is that's something everybody should write down too, because this is your chance to have input. If you care about these issues, if you care about these different alternatives that Todd was mentioning, this is your opportunity to weigh in, to get your opinion counted.
Absolutely. The board, which makes up the jurisdictions of the counties of Anne Arundel, Carroll, Harford, Baltimore County, and Howard County, the City of Baltimore, the City of Annapolis, and the Maryland Department of Transportation are our voting members on our Baltimore Regional Transportation Board. We also have non-voting members of the Maryland Department of Planning, Department of the Environment, and the Maryland Transit Administration. This board is sitting down right now and picking projects that should be funded to go forward in the next 25 years.
Now's the time. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. Again, go to planet2035.org and imagine2060.org, or you can go to our regular website, baltometro.org.
Okay, so that's www.baltometro.org, or by telephone?
Phone number is 410-732-0500.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Todd. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today on Living in Baltimore. Our guest today has been Mr. Todd Lang, Director of Transportation for the Baltimore Metropolitan Council. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
I appreciate it.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.